ومن كانت من المسيحين عن من شلاكها تكشور النيل تامين التسمى يشيب الرجل.
So like this, this is how the news went around. So in the palace of Bhishmaka, different saintly persons were speaking about Krishna. Prabhupada comments, speak on, you see, in this palace there is this king, his son, he's very powerful, very good, dutiful prince, he'll make a good king. And then the young girls, the princesses in the other palaces, they'd be hearing. So like this, this is how the news went around. So in the palace of Bhishmaka, different saintly persons were speaking about Krishna. Prabhupada comments in his Krishna book that actually among the saintly persons, Narad Muni especially made it his job, because Narad Muni facilitates Krishna's pastimes by bringing information here and there as like a catalyst. So he was praising the glories of Krishna, which he's very expert at. Narad Muni's whole and sole occupation is simply to glorify Krishna. He has nothing else to do. He has no ashrams to run. He has many disciples, but he preaches to them and then goes off. He has no organizations, legal problems to deal with. No such thing. He simply goes from place to place and glorifies Krishna. And he does it very expertly. He's been practicing for a long time. He's very inspired about the subject matter. And he's empowered by Krishna to do so. So he was praising Krishna, knowing that here in the palace of Bhishmaka is Rukmini Devi, who is the eternal consort of the Lord. She is born and brought up in this palace, but actually she belongs with Krishna. And it is inevitable that she will be married with Krishna, because she always is. That's her eternal position. Whenever Krishna goes to any universe, which he does, one material universe after another, he performs various wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan, and then comes out and marries Rukmini. So it's a wonderful event, you see. Generally people think, oh, my marriage is the most wonderful thing, it's the biggest event in my life. But it only happens once. But for Krishna, of course, 16,108 times, but for each wife it only happens once. But then it happens lifetime after lifetime. The same anxiety for Rukmini, that, oh, now I've got to marry this horrible demon, Shishupal, who hates Krishna. I'd better die. I can't marry Shishupal. I must marry Krishna. So the anxiety that she was feeling, that made her happiness all the better when actually Krishna kidnapped her. She was actually very expert also. That's Prabhupada was describing once how when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini, he was driving away the chariot and he was shooting bows and arrows at the opposing soldiers while Rukmini was driving. So she also knew how to drive the horses. So she wasn't simply talking. She was expert also in various kshatriya activities. Kshatriyani, after all, she's kshatriyani, daughter and wife of a kshatriya. So anyway, that comes a little later, how Krishna took her away. Krishna walked in, smiling very slowly, not rushing in to kidnap her, very slowly, nonchalantly. Hello there, Shishupal, how are you? And took Rukmini, put her on his chariot and drove off. Have a nice day. Enjoy yourselves. Have a nice party. And they all, oh, what happened? They're all, oh, we have to fight. So anyway, Balaram was there. Anyway, that all comes later. Right now, Rukmini is sitting in the palace, younger, and highly eligible for marriage, being a young girl. Very beautiful, exceptionally beautiful. Beautiful means she's Rukmini, she's the original goddess of fortune. So extraordinarily beautiful. And naturally, the question comes that who will marry her? She's also thinking, who will I marry? So she wasn't attracted to all these big kings. So many big kings were there. Powerful, famous, able to defeat their enemies, wealthy, good-looking. But she didn't like any of them. She thought they were all like a bunch of dogs. She wasn't attracted to any of them. But then she heard about Krishna. The great devotees, especially Narad Muni, came to the palace, and they would be speaking in the assembly, and the young girls, they wouldn't be exactly in the assembly, but they'd be listening from the side. And Narad Muni would describe Krishna, and other devotees would describe Krishna, that he's very young, very beautiful, very powerful. He destroyed Kamsa, such a great demon. Even the demigods were afraid of him. But just by his fists, he didn't even need an army. Just by punching him, he killed him. And that was also after he'd already been, you would have thought he would be tired. He already killed a big elephant. Just by playing with it, practically he killed a demoniac elephant. And then he killed in the wrestling assembly, Chanara and other demons, the big wrestlers, he killed them, just a young boy, and then Kamsa, who everyone is afraid of, he killed him also. He's so powerful. And then this Jarasandha and others are attacking him, but he's completely fearless. He's the most expert fighter. He's, apart from that, he's the most beautiful. Nothing can compare with his beauty. Gandharva Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. Even millions of cupids cannot compete with his beauty. The cupids themselves become bewildered by his beauty. So he's very beautiful, very powerful, very opulent, very intolerant of his enemies. He destroys his enemies. It's a good quality for a kshatriya, not for a brahmana. That's for a kshatriya. But it's not that he's just some ruffian, like some terrorist or something like that. But also, his character is most wonderful. As a proper prince, a kshatriya, he punishes the enemies mercilessly. Those who are demoniac, he chastises them, apparently mercilessly, although actually it's merciful for Krishna to destroy the demons. That's another feature of his mercy. But he doesn't tolerate those who are oppressing the innocent. In this way, he's the most powerful person. See, a woman, she wants to take shelter of someone, so that person should be worthy of taking shelter of. So Krishna is the most worthy of taking shelter of, because he can protect. Sharanam Sharanyam Kato Mukundam, the name given Mukunda here. That's also given in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, where it's recommended that we should take shelter of he who is worth taking shelter of. That is Mukunda, because he can give liberation. If we take shelter of others, that is durashraya, that is bad shelter. That can't, no one can actually shelter us. Only Krishna can actually shelter us. So later Rukmini herself was to say to Krishna that any woman who accepts any husband except you, they are taking shelter of what? They're taking shelter of the body, which is only some bones and blood and organs, and it's covered by some skin with some hairs and mustaches covering it, and this is called my husband. But actually the real person everyone should take shelter of is you, she was to say to Krishna after Krishna teased her. That's described later on in Bhagavata. So Krishna, he is full of all good qualities, although he's very apparently unkind, intolerant to the demoniac. He's very, very kind to his devotees. And even though he's so powerful, he comes under the control of his devotees, who have no other interest in life simply than to love Him. So, hearing about the qualities of Krishna, then naturally, anyone would be attracted. Actually, there are two ways a person can respond to hearing the qualities of Krishna. The natural, sane way is to become attracted and think, oh, what a wonderful person. Krishna is so powerful, so beautiful, so full of good qualities. In every way, the most wonderful person imaginable, or even beyond our imagination. So, the natural response to hearing of the glories of Krishna is to become inclined to serve Krishna. And even if, even on the material platform, if a young woman was to hear there was a young man who was very powerful, very beautiful, very good character, full of all good qualities, she said, well, I'd like to marry him. But another response is, upon hearing about the qualities of Krishna, one becomes envious and thinks, envious, he may respond in various ways. He may respond in one way by thinking that actually this is just an exaggeration, it's not true, or actually I'm much better than that person, why aren't they praising me, why are they praising you? Or they may think that this is too much, these people are praising him so much, we should find out some bad qualities and advertise, just like Shishupal. He protested when Sahadev stood up in the Rajasuya Yajna assembly and praising Krishna. Said, why are you praising Krishna? See, we don't even know what his caste is. See, that's considered something very bad. He started off as cowherd boy before we thought he was the son of Nanda Maharaj. Now he says he's the son of Vasudev. You can't ascertain someone's caste, they become an outcast. You have to, in Vedic culture, it's very important to know which caste someone is. And if it can't be ascertained, then they're an outcast. They have no caste. So he was saying so many things about Krishna, which was actually praising him. Saraswati ended his tongue because she didn't like that Krishna would be publicly defamed. So when Shishupal called him Naradhama, which generally means the lowest among men, actually that can also mean one who makes all men, one in comparison to whom all men are lower than him. So that's a proper description of Krishna. But when it's said that Krishna has no caste, that's also true. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and He's transcendental to all mundane designations. So, Shishupal, he acted in this way, out of envy to Krishna. And Rukmini, hearing the qualities of Krishna, thought, that is the right husband for me. I don't want to marry Shishupal. Actually, because Rukmini, her eldest brother, the eldest brother is usually influential in the family. So, he arranged, it appears that without consulting with his father, he arranged that Rukmini should marry Shishupal. But Rukmini, hearing the qualities of Krishna, didn't want to. She thought, I only want to marry Krishna. See, later on we'll find that Rukmini was a very, her nature is very soft and gentle, different. Here it said that Sadrisham, they were, Rukmini and Krishna, they were the same in quality. So it's very interesting. Krishna has 16,108 wives. So the different wives, they all have different characters. They're not just all like rubber dolls or something like that. Satyabhama, for instance, her nature is completely different to that of Rukmini. Rukmini is very submissive, shy and gentle, and Satyabhama is always fighting with Krishna. Prem kalaha, out of love, she becomes envious. If she sees Krishna is favoring Rukmini a little bit more than me, then she becomes very angry and sulks and speaks in sarcastic terms to Krishna. When Krishna went to the heavenly planets and he brought Parijata flower for Rukmini and said to him, oh, you bring for me, why do you like her more than me? So she pointed it out immediately. Krishna, I have to balance. You know, it's troublesome having more than one wife because they're always looking to see who does he like best. So Krishna plays a few tricks and expands himself into 16,108 forms. So they all think, yeah, he likes me the best. He's only with me. He's with me all the time. He never goes to the other palaces, not knowing that Krishna is in all palaces. So, here it's said that Krishna and Rukmini's personality, they're perfectly matched, made for each other. Oh, what a horrible advertisement. Anyway, so that's true. Krishna's personality exactly matches that of Rukmini. But then, we may think that his personality doesn't match that of Satyabhama, because Satyabhama's personality is completely different. But actually, Krishna's personality also is a perfect match for Satyabhama, because Krishna, it's very difficult to ascertain his personality. His personality is multifaceted. He's Dhirodatta, Dhira Prashanta, Dhira Lalita, what's the Dhira Dhira? He's these different kinds of heroes in dramas analyzed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. And actually, they're all different kinds of personalities. But Krishna is all of those personalities. And how is it possible? Because Krishna is everything. And Krishna acts in different ways, and he appears to have a different personality. Everything is with different people and in different circumstances. Everything is possible in Krishna. Krishna is unpredictable. You can never tell what he's going to do. So he's a perfect match for Rukmini, and he's a perfect match for who is the second queen of Krishna. Generally we say that Rukmini, especially in South India, you see Rukmini Satyabhama with Krishna, even in our Madras temple. We have Rukmini and Satyabhama. But actually Satyabhama wasn't the second queen, she was the third. Who was number two? Jambavati. And then just practically at the same time, Satyabhama came. So, Krishna is the perfect match for 16,108 queens. And actually Krishna is the perfect match for every living being in creation. Because every living being has a different personality, but every personality is attracted to Krishna. And Krishna perfectly reciprocates with every personality. That is the extraordinary quality of Krishna. There is a saying, birds of a feather flock together. That people of the same kind of character and disposition, they come together. But Krishna goes with everyone. Because Krishna, not exactly that he adjusts to everyone, but his disposition is suitable for everybody. Of course, Krishna, he also manifests different facets of his personality, different major facets of his personality in different places. There's like Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna in Dwaraka. There's a marked difference in Krishna's whole disposition and outlook. Because in Vrindavan, Krishna is very, at least from the immediate or superficial point of view, Krishna is very simple. He goes out with the cows without even any shoes on his feet. Which Mother Yashoda, everyone protests. Why is he going without any shoes on his feet? Kapoor Akandana, the gopis are saying that Krishna, the stones and little thorns, they will prickle in Krishna's feet. But Krishna said, this is our rule. When Mother Yashoda was saying, if you're going to go and take the cows out, you must have shoes because the roads are very bad. He said, no, these are our caste rules, that we don't wear shoes. He said, if you want to give me shoes, okay, I'll take them, but you have to make shoes for all the cows also. Why should they not have them? So Krishna was going very simply, decorated with leaves and different kinds of colorings you can get from the soft rocks in the forest, and put a peacock, some peacock feather they'd find on the path, the cowherd boys would come and say, here, this is for you, Krishna. Put it in his hair. And very simple. Whereas in Dwaraka, it's very more formal, very kingly, opulent, sophisticated. In Vrindavan, Krishna is apparently unsophisticated, but in Dwarka, very sophisticated. So he manifests different moods or different characters. And even Krishna expands himself into so many different forms. Rama adi murtishu kala niyamena tishta. Nana avatara vakaro bhuvaneshu kintu Krishna swayam samanava. Paramapumadi bhuvanamadi. Expands himself as Rama. So many other different forms. Shinna, Rama. Veda Paramatma, Tasmat Mama Sarvasva, Rama Kamala. I know that Srinath, Narayana, the Lord of Lakshmi Devi, and Janakina, Ramachandra Bhagavan, they are the same personality of Godhead. But as far as I am concerned, my all in all is Rama. Not Vishnu, but we like him as lotus-eyed Rama. So that was the preference of Hanuman. He wants to worship the Lord as Rama. And as far as Rukmini is concerned, there is no other person but Krishna. That I was saying, although she was very gentle, she's known as being very gentle by nature, but actually you can see that she can be very stubborn when required also. Because even though she was very gentle and submissive, when it came to the point that she had to marry Shishupal, she thought, well, I'm not going to be gentle and submissive on this point. I'm not going to spoil my whole life getting married to this demon. I'm not going to... My whole existence is only meant for Krishna. I'm not going to have anything to do with this demon. I'll enter into fire, I'll die. I'll perform tapasya for millions of lifetimes, but I'm not going to accept anyone but Krishna as my husband. So she was very gentle and submissive, but at the same time very strong-willed that I must have Krishna as my husband. So that is the ideal for a devotee. Devotee is sushila sadhava, very good character, very well-behaved, gentle, that is the general quality of a Vaishnava. That means not belligerent or boisterous. Of course, there are different kinds of devotees. The monkeys, was just saying about Rama's monkeys. Then they have the bodies of monkeys. So they have a somewhat belligerent, they may be belligerent and boisterous by nature. We find that when Hanuman came back from Lanka, told all the assembled monkeys, I found Sita. And then in celebration, they found one beautiful garden, and they just ripped it all up and ate the bananas, threw the skins here and there, and wrecked the whole thing, like monkeys. And that was that garden was belonging to King Sugriva, so the news came to them, you have to punish him. He said, no, I'm not going to punish them, because I can understand, if they did that, that must be the sign that they found Sita. They wouldn't dare to do it otherwise, and they wouldn't have any other cause. They wouldn't be jubilant. They'd be lamenting if they hadn't found Sita. So actually, it's very good news. It's very good news. He got the news that the whole garden has been ripped up. So that is their nature. But generally, Vaishnav is, you see that, Sushila Sadhava, those words. Generally, devotee is very peaceful, self-controlled, calm. His resolve should be very strong, that I will not submit to anyone but Krishna. This is his resolve, Rukmini's resolve. She heard about Krishna. She said, yes, this is the right husband. This is the only husband. I won't accept anyone else. And Krishna personally came to take her. She had such resolve that Krishna, what is that in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Mrityu Sangsara Sagara. Bhavami Nachira Bhagavata. Krishna says that I lift up the devotee from the ocean of birth and death. And then in the Purport, Prabhupada quotes that Krishna personally comes riding on the back of Garuda to save his devotee. Not that if the devotee is completely attached to Krishna, then even he doesn't have to go to Krishna. Krishna will come to him. Because Krishna becomes controlled by the love of his devotee. He's obliged to come and rescue his devotee. If a devotee is fully surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna is obliged. There's no choice. Because Krishna, that's one of his great qualities, gratefulness. Krishna is never an ingrate. So Krishna feels obliged. If someone even once chants my name with love, Krishna feels that, oh, I've become indebted to that person. That Ramachandra. What is that verse? He says that whoever surrenders to me once, etat vata matam mama. I'm not remembering the Sanskrit now. Lord Rama said, if anyone surrenders, if he sincerely surrenders to me, once even, if someone has that attitude, then it is my vow that I will protect that person. This came about when Vibhishana, he left Lanka and came to Ram, bowed down at his feet and said, now I surrender to you. And the monkeys, they were very doubtful. Said, well, you can never trust these Rakshasas. They're very tricky people. They're coming from the enemy party. He's probably coming and saying this. He's probably a spy. Can't trust him. Better to kill him right now. We'll make sure there's no problem in future. We'll just kill him now. But Rama said, no. No question. Anyone who comes to me and surrenders, it is my vow I will protect. So he accepted Vibhishana. So that is the attitude. This is why that Rukmini was hearing about the qualities of Krishna. What qualities? That even though he's such a great personality, he fully extends and gives himself to the devotee who gives himself to that. Who gives himself to Krishna. We find here in this material world that great persons, they have so many followers and fans, and they don't care for them. You'll find Mukunda Maharaj saying that he used to be, long ago in the 1960s, he was promoting this rock music. He used to go to these big rock stars and they wouldn't have time. They don't care. So many people are cheering their name and they don't care for their fans. Just another one. But Krishna has millions and he's far more popular than any rock star. But he personally cares for every single devotee and he will extend himself and personally save that devotee and look after that devotee. So that was Rukmini's confidence. That Krishna is full of all good qualities. And why should I aspire for any less husband than he? So she thought, all right, now I'm surrendering to Krishna. And Krishna will surely look after me. And if somehow or other he doesn't save me in this life, then in another life, any other life, I'm ready to wait. But I must have Krishna as my husband. I must be fixed up with Krishna as my husband. So this was her attitude. Of course, there was some tension and anxiety up to the last minute. Will Krishna come or not? And Krishna came. It's a wonderful story. You get to hear how Krishna came to save Rukmini Devi. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Chandravan. Yeah. That's true. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.